disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, and I'd make an admission to you, confession, I guess it is. I hate to do it, but I have to do it. I know this goes against grain. I apologize for those of you who are going to be disappointed, but here's the truth. I've been giving a lot of thought to it, been doing a lot of soul searching. I think we can win. And I'm sorry for those of you out there who don't. And I'm sorry if that flies in the face of your theology, that this is all just going to, get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And there isn't any reason to do anything or stand up and fight anymore, because it's just all winding down. You can see it in the moon and the stars and the wind, and you can read it in Revelation. It's just all over. I have to confess to you, I don't buy that. So if that makes you nervous, if that makes you want to go listen to somebody else, you go do it, because I'm going to occupy till he comes. I'm going to earnestly contend for the faith. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into all the world. Gospel of Jesus Christ, teach them to observe all he's commanded me, and lo, he's going to be with me always into the end of the age. And I'm convinced beyond a shadow of the doubt, if the church would wake up and fight, we can still win. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Abortion is going to end in America. You are watching it right before your very eyes. Abortion is going to end. Now, we heard not 1 year ago, not 2 years ago, not 3 years ago, that's impossible. No way. I'm here to tell you, abortion is going to end in America. And abortion is going to end in America because the Lord says it's going to. And the Lord says it's going to, he is going to end abortion despite the church.
Amen.
And I'm going to get into some stuff here today. I've been doing some research this morning, and oh man, I need a month. I just need a month here today. Welcome. Hey, let me make a couple really quick announcements. Hey folks, do me a favor. For our sake, okay? Share this show with others, not this one, but all of them. This is going to be good. I'm just convinced when we get back from Dallas, and then we have our own event coming up. There's an event right now down Steve Quayle and David Langford and the crew. They're down in I think it's Asheville, North Carolina. They're doing an event down there. There are so many people who are beginning to awaken. So many. There are people who you go to church with who are secretly awakening, and they don't really know what to do or what they should say or where they should go. And this whole thing that we're doing here, pardon me, my, it is this, we have to red pill people. Got to red pill them. There's no reason we should be losing. No reason. Absolutely no reason. Texas is introducing a bill of abolition, if you can believe that or not, to abolish abortion. We are going to see it. It's going to happen. You know why? Because the science is on our side. Everything that we're losing on is fake. The whole abortion thing, all of it is fake. All the arguments is fake. It's a woman's body. A woman can do what she wants to with her own body. It's a blob of tissues. On and on and on. You pick whatever it is. It is all lies. And I was watching a quick video last night from the guy who played Harrison Ford. And he was screaming and hollering about how can we deny science? How can we deny? Do you have any idea how much the left denies science? Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how the left denies science in regards to an unborn baby? The facts about an unborn baby? Do you have any idea how much science denies the idea about homosexuality? Folks, there's X chromosome and XY chromosome. There ain't anything else. There is nothing else. I don't care what you think. What you think in your head doesn't change science. And so we've been so stupid that we've allowed them to use non-scientific arguments when it advances their agenda, and use scientific arguments when it advances their agenda. They get to use both. And we're not smart enough to have figured it out. folks, if scientifically, this movie Unplanned, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm hearing from people who've seen it. It's right before your eyes. It's a baby. It's a baby being murdered. The truth is on our side. See, it's the truth that sets people free. But the truth is what? It's blocked. They make Unplanned. You can't see it unless you're over 17 years old and go with your parents. Unplanned ought to be shown. If we really want to educate our children, if we really want to talk about the truth, Unplanned ought to be shown in middle school. Everybody ought to watch and see exactly what an abortion is. But see, they don't want to do that, right? They want to deny science. They want to take it from the actual visual of here's what happens to put it about a woman and emotion, her choice, and she's not ready for it, and woman's body. And they win on the emotional debate. We're not smart enough to take on the scientific debate. That's why I'm here. I'm pumped up this morning. We're going to win. We're going to win. I'm telling you. We're on a winning team. And I'm not talking about in the end. I'm talking right now. Unfortunately, that flies in the face of most Christians. They think it's going to get worse and 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 worse. Makes me want to gag. Because again, I never played a football game where I thought I was going to do it. I never ever played a game said, well, boys, listen, let's do this. Let's just go out there. This team is really, really good. Let's do this. Let's just fall back and save the equipment. Let's just make sure at the end of the game we still got all of our helmets and shoulder pads and footballs. And they didn't take all that. But otherwise, we just survive, and then we'll get on the bus and we'll get home. What a stupid way to think. Stupid.
Amen.
But that's where we are. That's where we are. Hang on. I got Randy, I got a rip-roaring one today. I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit. I told my wife last night. It scares me. As I was laying down in bed last night, just before I went to sleep, I said to Michelle, you know, it's amazing. I've done, I don't know how many shows over. I've done a bunch of shows every morning. Get up and do a show. And you know, when I lay my head down on my pillow at night, I never worry about what I'm going to talk about. Never worry. You'd think I'd be stressed, wouldn't you? Lay down in bed and, boy, I got to get up in the morning, got to do a show. What am I going to talk about? Lord? Never, ever stressed. Because the Holy Spirit gives it to me. And I said, you know, I think back, I don't know what you guys think, and I'm not bragging, I'm not patting myself on the back. There haven't been 10 bad shows. And the hundreds that we've done, there haven't been 10 bad ones. It's amazing, isn't it? And so that encourages me to get up every morning and come down here and to lay things on the table, and we chew it up like red meat. And can we, at the end of the day, I don't know, we can't. Thank you. I heard you. Thank you, Lord. We get mad at each other. If I bring up something that doesn't agree with your theology, you don't want to play with me anymore. Or maybe not me, people you come in contact with. I can tell you an example of, well, maybe we'll get into it later on today. Guys who are disfellowshipping over, are you ready for this? Speaking in tongues. Well, I can't have anything to do with them. They speak in tongues. Well, I can't have anything to do with them. They don't believe in Israel. I can't have anything to do with them. I can't have anything to do with them. Why? They don't believe in baptism. It's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We got this war raging out there, and we're fighting amongst each other. We won't unify with you. That's where I'm going today. Stay with me. Hey, listen, the event coming up in Occupy, I got to talk about it. Just got to. Great news. We have secured, now listen to me good. Two things we're working on. We're working on a system of live streaming. We don't know how to do it yet. We're not sure. But if we come up a way and we're able to figure out how to live stream this thing for those of you out there, we will let you know. And we're going to do it for you really cheap. But like a $20 donation to Pass the Salt, we'll let you have just a $20 donation. Now, here's why we would do that, because we don't know how good the quality is going to be. Okay. So rather than saying we're selling you live streaming, if you would make we're not ready for it yet. But if we were to do that and you make a $20 donation, we'll make the live streaming available. We'll give you a code and you can get in there. But we know some of you sitting at home would like to come and you can't. So we're going to try to, we're working on getting that up. Second, number two, listen, there are three, hear me. There are three, one, two, three, one, two, three. There are three hotel rooms left on Friday. Three. If you think, well, we're just going to go up there. We're just pulling up there Friday and we'll get a hotel. Three, one, two, three hotel rooms left in the entire hotel Friday night. Now, It's really, really good because I think it's like 10 on Saturday. So if you listen, you think you're just going to pull up. You hear what I'm saying? A crowd's we're going to fill the room. It's going to be good. But we also have right now, we just are in the process of we are finding a primitive sleep place for people. By primitive, I mean, you got to bring your own sleeping bag, towels, you got to bring all your stuff. We have a bed, but we have facilities for you, bathroom facilities, all that. It's like at 20 minutes, half hour away from the venue, but you're going to be able to stay there for like $25 a night. And if you can't swing that, I'll pay it for you. Okay. Don't let coming to the hotel be because you don't have a place to stay. We're working on an alternative. So if that's something that you're interested in, you'd like to come, you can't afford the hotel. There you go. So, I'm excited about it. The momentum's building. It's going to be a great conference. Occupy 2019. You can find it online. I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about here, but I'm going to shift away from some of that stuff. Okay. I got to show that. Oh my goodness. No, Lord, I'm going to go right to where you want me to go. Why is there so much division in the church? Why is there so much? I know of an argument right now. I'm going to bring Mike Heath in here. Mike, come on in here a second. Cause this came to head with me yesterday. In a lot of different areas. Hey, boys and girls, we will never win if we won't play as a team. We will never win. We're going to win, but we won't win if we play as a team. And I look at what's going on, let's say in the pro-life movement. Rusty's got a team, and Matt Twella's got a team, and Coach Dave's got a team, and AHA's got a team. And they don't play together. Catholics have a team, and everybody wants to end abortion. And we see they're lying to you, telling you that 50% of the people are for abortion. That's not true. Even if it were true, 50% of the people are for abortion because they've never seen unplanned. They don't know what it is, right? They don't know what it is. And so if it's really made bare bones out to what it is, people aren't for that. But see, we Abby Johnson makes the movie Unplanned, and in the movie Unplanned, she criticizes guys like me who are out on the street trying to rescue babies. Even in the movie, there's internal conflict. This isn't the way to do it. I don't like the way you do it. That's not the way we do it. That's not the way we've always done it. And people break fellowship over. Now, Mike Heath yesterday wrote a commentary about, Mike puts out one a morning, and it's just real short and to the point. And he said something about Zionism. I don't even know what it was. And folks, lifelong friends are ticked at Mike. Mike, tell us, come on in here, talk about that real minute. You don't have to mention who it is, but explain what's going on, Mike.
Well, a few years ago, Coach, I started when I was driving for FedEx, stopped a month and a half or so ago driving, delivering packages. But it was a blessing. It was God sending me into a kind of wilderness, and it gave me an opportunity to stick my headphones on and jump in and out of the truck, get good exercise, and listen to, go down streams that of knowledge that I was interested in learning more about. And one of those streams that I pursued was the thinking and writing of a guy named E. Michael Jones. He's a Roman Catholic writer. He's written 30 books. He's been the editor of a magazine called Culture Wars, and he's a PhD in American literature. He was fired from a Catholic college because he was pro-life over 30 years ago. That's what interested me in the beginning. Why? Because as an evangelical leader in Maine, I sort of got fired by the pastors of Maine for being against sodomy. And so, you know, I have a personal sympathy and a connection with this guy. I'm not a scholar like he. I haven't written 30 books. I haven't written one book, for God's sakes. But he's written 30 books. So I have been listened to hours of his conversations. And
a different perspective than you had ever heard before, right?
Right. And so I've started to kind of filter, you know, funnel.
Broaden your horizons. Broaden your thought patterns.
Into what I'm writing. And the blowback I'm getting is what, you know, Coach, it doesn't shock me anymore. It stopped shocking me years ago, but it still hurts. That the threat of disfellowship, the threat of I'm not going to talk to you anymore, I'm not going to read what you write, I'm not going to...
You had the audacity to ask a question about Zionism, and that immediately made you a Jew hater. Isn't that exactly what it was?
Yeah, I'm an anti-Semite. I don't think I've ever had an anti-Semitic thought in my life. For one thing, I'm still not real exactly sure about what Semite, Semitic, blah, blah, you know.
Yeah, me either, right? But you sure don't hate them. You don't hate it. And to ask a question about Zionism and Zionist Israel, which is a great question to ask, now that makes you a Jew hater. In fact, one of your friends accused you of being a Muslim supporter. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Mike.
Yeah, basically, I support Muslims.
This is a lifelong friend.
And the murder of Jewish babies. Yeah, that's the argument I'm making, right? Yes, I think Jewish babies should be killed by Muslim terrorists. Yeah, that's not it at all. Obviously, that's not it. But that's where the argument goes immediately before there's disfellowship. No more. Not going to be a friend.
Yeah, you're off the deep end, Mike. You've been listening to that, Coach? You're going off the deep end, Mike. We can't even discuss it. So go ahead, Mike. Go ahead. I feel you.
Yeah.
It is, right? Huh? It is.
It's not just
Zionism, folks. It's not. Listen, relax. That's not what we're talking about here. Relax. This is an example. I could get the same argument going over gay marriage in the church. I could get the same argument going over women preachers in the church. I could get the same argument going over speaking in tongues. I could get the same argument going over demonology. I could get the same argument. I could get the same argument gone over many, many different things within Christian circles, right? And if I speak out against homosexuality, I'm a homo hater, right? And if I speak out for pro-life, I'm a women hater, right? It just goes on and on and on and on. Are you guys feeling me out there today?
Coach, you opened the show the way that I feel. I was asked by Gary to come up with a title for what I want to say at Occupy. And so yesterday I wrote Snatching Defeat from the Jaws of Victory. Mm. Snatching Defeat from the Jaws of Victory. And that's the way I feel about Christianity in the West, based on my own personal testimony. And we're supposed to overcome the devil by what? The word by our testimony. So based on my own personal experience over 30 years as an adult, my feeling is that we have worked overtime to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Because we're fighting with each other, right? We're fighting with each other. Jared, pull up Galatians. Pull up Galatians.
Yeah. Mike, you're absolutely right. The church and Republicans are the world's most accomplished at snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory.
Mm-hmm. You know what I see going on right now, Larry? It's amazing to me. I see pro-life victory after pro-life victory after pro-life victory going on in states. I see finally people waking up and they're starting to do something against abortion. And then we have those who say all abortions end or nothing. If you're for just saving some babies with heartbeats, you're a baby hater. You're whatever, right? It is unbelievable to watch how we attack one another in the church. And if you wonder why the lost world's looking on the outside, looking at us and say, why would anybody want to be part of that mess? What? They can't even agree. How about this one? Oh, I love my old Baptist brothers. I love my old Baptist brothers. They say, hey, Father, Son, and the King James Bible, brother. That's it. The Father, the Son, and the King James Bible. We believe the Bible. We're a good Bible-believing church, except they're not. They're a Bible-believing church based on what they believe. If you bring in something they don't believe in, well, then you're not a good Bible believer. See, that's the problem that we're running to all across America and what they call the social gospel. Not everyone having a set, well, we just believe the Bible. And the Bible says, love your brother. So we're going to, you understand what happens to us, see? Coach, we're supposed to love them. We're not supposed to criticize. So they reach into the Bible and they find a sliver and they turn it into a doctrine, and then a theology, and then a denomination.
Amen.
That's what's going on. See, they've got us so divided. They have got us so divided. Now I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag. Should I, Lord? Yeah, I'm gonna do it. I'm charismatic. There it is. I'm sorry. Some of you will tune out. I'm charismatic. Some of you won't let me in your church now because you're not charismatic. You don't believe that. How about this one? I've been water baptized, submerged, went under. I did. Yeah, I did. I admit it. I confess I did. Hey, I'll get you another one. So you get what I'm saying, right? So come on in.
You talk about your grandson praying. Is he not speaking in tongues? I mean, think about it, Coach. That's the most innocent way to look at it, right?
Yeah, right. That's right. Hey, listen, if you don't speak in tongues, God bless you. Why would you tell me that I can't? Because you haven't done it? Well, we don't believe that in our church, really. There's a lot of things you believe in your church that I don't believe. And there's a lot of things I believe that you don't believe in your church. That's why you have your denomination, we have our denomination, and that's why we never get anywhere. Because you don't like what I believe. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say that. It says tongues will cease. Yeah, and it says knowledge will vanish away. Has knowledge vanished away? Hate to tell you this. Tongues ain't ceased. You can think it has. I'm in Galatians. Hey, yeah, Coach. Go ahead. Come on in. Come on in.
More evidence that you started the coach, started the show right on point. I was dumb enough to get a degree in philosophy, and that made me interested in following a guy named Peter Kraft, Boston College philosophy professor. He's written like, I don't know, 100 books at this point.
That guy's a nut job.
Peter Kraft, and he's one of the most articulate and effective apologists for Christianity, broadly defined, in the West. And he speaks in tongues. Just wanted to pass that on.
Wow.
And he's Roman Catholic.
Uh-huh. They call those charismatic Catholics. I don't want to get into the tongue debate. Listen, do you understand this? The denominations are set up based on little slivers of truth that they, if you agree with us and you, and if you go ask the average person, because I did some research this morning, can anybody out there right now tell me the difference between a Methodist and a Presbyterian? Probably not. The average person. How about this? Can you tell me the difference between a Baptist and an Anabaptist? How about this? How about the difference between a Baptist and a Southern Baptist? How about this? How about the difference between a Baptist and a Fundamental Baptist? And so, somebody help me out here? Well, the answer is no. No, we don't have any idea. Other than you're part of a denomination because you get money from the church and you're part of a group, as far as I can tell. So I'm in Galatians. And really, I don't have time, but I would love to read all of Galatians. I would love to read all of Galatians 3. But I'm afraid if I start reading all of Galatians 3, I'll never, ever stop reading it because it is revelation after revelation after revelation as you read down through it. I just thought of this before we get in. I got to tell you guys this. I've been on those sulfur crystals. I haven't taken my blood pressure medicine in 10 days. I have never felt better. I check my blood pressure regularly. My blood pressure is the same as when it was when I was on that medicine. And I believe the Lord's doing a work. And I don't know if you guys remember, I complained because I was always stiff. I always felt like, up and down the steps. It's gone. The stiffness is gone.
Wow. Amen, Coach.
Man, oh, man. I want to thank God. Hey, on
Coach, you can't go that route. That's nature's way. You got to go the medical route.
Amen, yeah, that's Coach.
That's right. Oh, good. Yep. Devil's just deceiving you. Anyway, where was I? Galatians. Listen, I could just stop right. Man, boys and girls, do me a favor. Oh, Lord, I want to do that so bad. I'm not going to. There are 29 verses in Galatians 3, and every one of them, in my opinion, is a mic drop. Every verse is a mic drop. Every verse. Do you have it up there, Jared? I'm afraid if I start reading it, I know what's going to happen.
Coach, can I say something?
Yeah, please do, Randy.
You know, if you don't get out of the box with your viewpoint on medical, on drugs and all that stuff, you'll never go there, Coach. You'll never know if that will heal you and you'll get away from that. And it's the same way with this divisive doctrine, Coach. If you don't get out of the box and look around and see, look from the outside and look in and see where you were, you'll never know. Same thing.
Randy, that's what I'm about here, brother. That's what I'm about. I tell you over and over, I'm not a theologian, but I can read and I can think and I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I get tired of people telling me they believe the Bible, and then you pin them down. They don't agree what the Bible says. They say, well, that's not for this day. And just go into a church and start talking about demons. Jesus cast out demons everywhere he went. And you go into a church today and a Bible believing church and you talk about casting out demons. Oh, get out of here. Right? Yes or no? Oh, we're so deceived. Oh, foolish Galatians. Paul said, foolish Galatians. What kind of Galatians? Foolish ones. You foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only what I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the law or through faith? Oh, Lord. Did you receive the Spirit through your denomination and the rules and regulations of your denomination? Did you receive the Spirit from your pastor directing you and coaching you and telling you what he knew and never letting you ever hear what anybody else knew? Is that how you did it? Or did you hear it from the Spirit, hear of the faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you're now going to be made perfect by the flesh? What's wrong with you, foolish Galatians? Oh, man, that's just, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this.
That's exactly what he was telling, Coach. Those people came out of Judaism and got touched and filled with the Holy Spirit, and those crept in. Watch who crept in. It was those smart ones, those theologians, who came back out and drew them back into that Judaizing way. And that's what Paul was rebuking against, was religion.
And Dale, that's what pastors do today. Rules and regulations, do's and don'ts, that is religion. That is religion. That is Methodist, Episcopal, Anglican. That is what it is. Here's our rules and our regulations. And if you're going to be part of us, you are going to have to follow these rules and regulations. But yes, Pastor. But Pastor, the church down the street, they don't believe in those rules and regulations. Oh, I know they're lost. Those people down the road are lost. Do you see the foolishness of it? Foolish Galatians. Do you see it? Listen, I can't take time to read. Maybe we'll come back to it. Jared, scroll down for me. Because here is, right in the middle of this, is a mic drop, okay? Where is it? Oh, Lord, I get random enough to get. Jared. Jared, scroll down there. For 24. Hey, the Bible says that I believe it. That settles it. But what about our denomination doesn't believe that? Well, we believe our denomination. Our denomination teaches it. We believe it. That settles it. How about that? Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. See, the law was in place. So when you drive down the road and you see a speed limit sign, it says 65 miles an hour. That's how you measure whether you're breaking the law or not. There's the standard. I go 70, I'm breaking the law. I go 62, I'm not breaking the law. That's the standard. The law exposes sin, right? It's a schoolmaster. And so when you realize you're speeding, you're not supposed to be speeding, you realize you need a Savior. The law is the schoolmaster that brings you back to Christ. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified, not by the law, not by following the rules, not by do's and don'ts, but by faith. Justified by faith. Now, listen, I'm not an antinomianism. I believe in following the law. Stay with me. But after that, faith has come. We're no longer under that schoolmaster. I'm just going to pause there. Once faith has come, you've received Christ, you don't need that schoolmaster anymore to direct you. Oh, it keeps you in line. It keeps you between the lines. Hang on, stay with me. I hear somebody trying to pop in here already. For you are You are all. How many is all? How many are excluded from all? If I said all, are all people here, does that mean, is there anybody missing? If they say, yeah, all people are here. Okay. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Hey, boys, do you come to faith in, are you a child of God because you were born into a religious family? Are you a child of God because you were, like I had a guy tell me one time, well, I was born a Methodist. I said, well, dude, get born again. You got a problem. Are you a child of God because you're born a Jew? Are you a child of God because you're born a Baptist? Are you a child of God? No, no, no. For you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. All right? Stay there. You ready? Mic drop time. There ain't no Jew.
Amen.
I'm just reading the word. There's no Jew. There's no Greek. There's no bond nor free. There's no male nor female. But you're all one body in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ, oh my goodness, then you are Abraham's seed. Oh my goodness.
Coach.
Yeah.
You know, Coach, all these religious differences really are a modern creation, because think about this. If we just go back 500 years, the Christian world was in utter darkness. It was all Catholic, right? So a guy named Martin Luther comes along, and he has 95-point thesis he puts on the Church of Wittenberg, right? Well, up until then, see, people for the most part were in total darkness. They couldn't read the Bible. They weren't given a Bible. They weren't encouraged to understand it whatsoever. So think about this, Coach. Martin Luther, Christ through Martin Luther, gave us a tremendous gift, grace through faith. That was a very simple message. And then, you know what? Man convoluted it. And basically, as far as I could tell, all the religious sects, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, the Pentecostals, etc., were created out of what they differed on, not on what they agreed on. They got away from just simple grace through faith.
George, do you know today that the Catholics believe only Catholics are going to heaven? Do you know that?
Yep.
Catholics
yep.
teach that only those who are part of the church make it to heaven. That's what Catholics teach.
Okay.
So I used to be a God raised Catholic. So you can fellowship with Catholics and you can do whatever you want to with them. And God bless the Catholics. But I'm going to tell you the truth is they don't believe you're saved because you're not part of the church. You understand that? Go ahead.
Coach.
Amen. You know,
this part about by faith, in faith, in Christ Jesus. No, you're not a group. You are a Greek or a male or a female if you are in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the faith part, faith is substance and evidence, something that you can see. Faith is belief put into action. Without the action, there is no faith.
Mm-hmm.
So faith is more than just saying in your head, I believe Jesus died for me on the cross. Jesus is acting like Jesus
faith
died
works,
for you on what he wants you to do.
So let me ask you a question right now. And I'm not trying to start a fight. I'm just asking questions. Who are we taught today is Abraham's seed? I'm waiting for somebody to tell me.
Yeah, Israel.
Yeah. What does it say here? We have to deny what the Bible clearly says. If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed.
Paul identified that in the book of Romans. He says, and do you not know that the natural branches were broke off, that you, Gentile, would be engrafted in? But fear also that knowing that those that were broken off because of the rebellion, that God won't break you off also. That's the vine. That's what we are engrafted in.
Right.
And this is exactly why they don't read the New Testament, because it dispels all of that they've been taught.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Well, and Romans, listen, just kind of as an amen. You don't have to go there. I'm looking at it right now. Romans 10, verse 12. I did my research this morning, boys. Romans 10, verse 12. Pull that up there, Jared. What's that say? For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Right? Listen, we are Abraham's seed. We are. Now, wait a minute. Let's start a denomination on that, on those who don't agree with that, because that's not really, you with me? I'm not here to beat up on anybody's theology, because we have people who read the same Bible who don't agree with what we just said. So the problem isn't what the Bible says, it's what you believe. Well, the problem isn't what the Bible says, it's what you believe. Yeah, Al?
Yeah, Romans 11, Dale was commenting on Romans 11 just a minute ago. That explains it all right there, the whole chapter. That's what it's about.
We don't have time to read the whole chapter, but there you are, folks, Romans 11. Well, how about this one? I hate to tell you this. Where does it say this? Jared, pull up Romans 11.
Hey, Coach.
I'm
thinking the original denomination started with, I'm thinking the spirit of division. There's a divisive spirit that Satan, of course, he uses in every walk of life, but it starts with one man. One man divides himself and takes a following. So if you look at what we're trying to do out in the field at the show, is we're trying to convince one man to come back to the body and bring his following with him.
Right.
It's one man's denomination that makes him isolate himself on his table with his books and not work with the other men, not share the other men's call. You know, I mean, foolish, it's one man's heart we must reach.
That's right. Foolish Galatians, right? Foolish Galatians. What are you? You mean to tell me that we set you free by the Spirit of Christ, and now you're going to go back and you're going to argue and separate over the word, written word? I came to bring you together, not to separate you. I say, then hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know ye not what the scriptures say of Elias? How he make intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. Listen, I don't want to get bogged down on this one. Jared, pull up, it says denomination. Pull up that link for me real quick. Denomination. You ain't going to get from your church, huh? Yeah, yeah.
Romans 11:25 plainly tells us why the Jew, while the natural seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob before Christ, they don't see what we see because God has supernaturally blinded them.
They've blinded them. Folks, listen.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Mike, hang on. Mike, you're not a hater. I'm going to say this just as clear as I can, despite what John Hagee tells you. An unsaved Jew is no more saved than an unsaved American. They're no more saved than an unsaved Muslim. Yeah, go ahead. Was that Dale, whoever's coming
in? Yeah, it was me. Remember when John the Baptist, when they came out in the wilderness and they looked at John and they said, we are the seed of Abraham. John the Baptist looked at them and says, you fools, do you not realize that God can raise up out of these stones? And man, when he said that, that was huge, because when you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, here's Peter saying, do you not know that God has called you to be living stones, jointly fitted together to build the house of God? Denomination is brick and mortar. Each brick has to be exactly the same in order to build this building. But we have been called, as John said, he can raise children up out of the stones. And guess what? We are the living stones.
And we do know this, don't we, Dale, that there are pastors listening to – I don't know if Tuber's listening to us. Tim, did you get up this morning and listen to us? Let me check in there. He's sleeping in probably. Tim Tuber, he lost his pastor because he disagreed with the denomination. He disagreed. He got in the Bible and read something that he didn't see in the denomination, and he got defrocked or booted out, whatever they do. So I got up on the screen. Why are there so many Christian denominations? Can anybody answer that? Huh? 30,000 of them, by the way.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, George.
Well, we know why, because they're of division. But I can tell you this personally. I have been so freed up over the last number of years, not identifying with the denomination, but identifying with Christ. It's the most freeing thing, because you know what, Coach? It's freed me up to work with you. It's freed me up to work with people that are Catholics, that are doing God's work, that are Baptists, that are Methodists, whatever. And it's just so cool not to stoop down to the level of that argument. And I encourage anyone, if you're in that and you want to get set free from it, you can get set free today.
Amen. Where George, to piggyback, but to piggyback on that is the fact that we think that unless they're saved or unless they're of this, we can't work with them. But when you read it in the book of Acts, that Roman centurion, that Gentile, he did good works, and it says there was alms built in heaven because of it.
My goodness. And see, that's not what we're taught, is it? People who are part of denominations don't even wipe. Hang with me a second. Why are there so many denominations? Again, God questions. I love God questions. To answer the question, we first have to differentiate between denominations within the body of Christ and non-Christian cults. Presbyterians, Lutherans are examples of Christian denominations. Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are examples of cults. Sorry if you're a Jehovah's Witness, but it says the rise of denomination within the Christian faith can be traced back to the Protestant Reformation, the movement to reform the Catholic Church. So they came up with Lutheran, Reformed, Anabaptist, and Anglican. Those are the four they started with. The Lutheran denomination was named after Martin Luther. I'm trying to do this quickly. It was based on his teaching. The Methodists got their name because of their founder, John Wesley, had a method to use a spiritual growth. The Presbyterians became Presbyterians because of their legal structure, their church structure. Baptists got their name because they emphasized the importance of baptism. Each denomination has a slightly different doctrine or emphasis from the other, such as the method of baptism, the availability of the Lord's Supper. To those whose testimonies can be verified by church leaders, the sovereignty of God, free will in the matter of salvation, future of Israel, the church, pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, the existence of the signs, the gifts in the modern era, and so on. The point of these denominations is never Christ is Lord and Savior, but rather honest differences of opinion by godly, albeit flawed, people seeking to honor God and retain doctrinal purity according to their consciences and their understanding of his word. Denominations today are as many and as varied. The original mainline denominations mentioned above has spawned numerous offshoots of God. Assemblies of God, Church, Christian and Missionary Alliance, Nazarenes, Evangelical Free, Independent Bible Church, and others. Some denominations emphasize slightly doctrinal differences, but more often they simply offer different styles of worship to fit the differing tastes. You want to make somebody nervous? Huh? Invite a Baptist to a Nazarene church. Invite a Baptist to a charismatic church. So as we can see right here, without going down through here, the whole thing is based on somebody's opinion of what the scriptures teach. And can I tell you this? The people in the congregation believe what the guy in the pulpit believes. That's the truth. And most of them have never done any research at all to understand why they're part of that denomination.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, this is Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, you're hitting on a point that over the last few months that the Lord has really put on my heart. And, you know, I sent you that email a while back with mm-hmm. something I wrote to my kids. And to me, this all goes back to exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 22:37. The greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. If you do that, there is no denomination because you have the relationship with God and the Holy Spirit. So that commandment cuts division completely out, and we just go back to basics.
Yeah, but Todd, we know this because it just happened to me when I was in Dallas. What do people come up to you and say, where do you go to church? What denomination are you? See, we want to find out, where do we line up with? And then they say, well, we're just Bible believers. I say, oh, yeah? What do you think about speaking in tongues? Well, brother, we believe that has ceased. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm a Bible believer, and I don't believe it has. Which one of us is right? Okay, so you go start your denomination, and I'll go start mine. How do you guys baptize? Oh, well, Lord, we believe in submersion. Oh, well, we don't believe We believe in baptizing in the name of Jesus. We don't. We believe in baptizing in the name of the Father and Son. Well, we'll go start ours or yours, and you go start yours, and we ain't ever going to come together. This is the stuff that's going on all around us. And you know what's really sad about it? The people in the pew don't have any idea really what their denomination is. Like for instance, the schism that's going on in the Methodist Church over homosex. Help me out here. How can anybody who reads the Bible think homosex is okay? How can anybody read it, right? Not whether you love the homosexual or don't love the homosexual, ain't got nothing to do with it. How can anybody in their right mind read this Bible, I don't care your denomination, read this Bible and think homosex is not? Can somebody give me an answer on that one? Yeah, we're seeing hundreds, if not thousands, of churches refusing to speak on that issue.
Coach,
yeah.
If you read it with the blindfold of Christian Zionism.
Well, Vinny, that's what Mike Heath got in trouble for. As soon as Mike Heath even brought up the idea of maybe Israel, I think this is where Mike was going, I don't know, that maybe the net Israel that we see in the Middle East right now that was created by the United Nations, maybe that's not really Israel. I think, Mike, isn't that the question you were asking? I don't know what. And so when Mike asks that question, he hates Jews. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, my position is that Israel has a right to exist as a political entity, as a nation. But beyond that, I kind of not real interested in the subject. But I am interested in Jewish ideology and the presence of Jewish ethnicity and or religion in the West. I'm interested in that question. At this point, have I come to any really hard and fast and solid conclusions about all of it? Not really, but I've listened to a lot of material regarding the Jewish ethnicity or religious convictions of extraordinarily powerful people in the West who exert a lot of influence over Western culture, who have a lot of influence over what becomes drama, what becomes entertainment, what becomes the defining sort of interesting ideas that gain currency or that become influential in the West. I'm interested in that question. And the Jewish involvement with that question is real. It's a fact. That's what I'm interested in.
So, Mike, how come I don't get in trouble if I question the beliefs of Christians? I say, you know, those Methodists, I don't know what the hell's happened to those Methodists. What is going on with those Episcopalians? How do they get? But if I mention anything about Israel or the Jews, oh, you hate them. See, folks, come on, wake up here, right? Hey, listen to me. George Soros is a Jew. Is he a righteous man? Is George Soros a righteous man? He's no more righteous than Charles Manson. It's crazy. Yeah, come on in.
The Jews. It's this simple. What everyone's summarizing is you got the faction that's a Jew mafia who are Jews by label for power only. Oh,
by the way, there's Christian mafias too, aren't there? They're Christian mafias.
There are. But specifically, they do wield much power. There's not many Christians in that level of power. So with that said, you got the mafia, which are labeled. They want to hold on to some right, a blood right, for their own purpose. And then you have the religious Jews who are still holding on to their own hereditarial blood above Jesus Christ. And these are the ones that supposedly convert to Messianic Judaism, which is supposedly following Jesus Christ. So why hold on to the label? So I've always asked, either you're a follower of Christ when you convert from Judaism and let go of the blood right or whatever you believe you're entitled to.
Mm-hmm.
You let go of that, you take Jesus, or you call yourself some other form of Jew and create a new denomination. There's only Jesus.
So, Mike, Mark, then should I be going around and tell everybody I'm a Messianic Catholic?
No.
I'm a
follower of Jesus or you're not. One of the other.
Mike, now come on now, Mark. I'm a messianic Melungeon. I'm a messianic American.
No, I follow Jesus.
Okay.
You're in Acts 11:21. That's what you are. Acts 11:21 and 11:22. And
they were
called Christians at Antioch. That's what we are.
Okay. So
Coach, just to reiterate, and I think it's an important point. My interest in this whole issue is more philosophical than it is theological at this point.
Yes, me too. Yes,
sir. It's more philosophical. But here's why I continue to tease it, and I won't leave you alone, even though it looks like it's going to cost me close friendships going back 3 decades. That's because it does. If I want to think about something from a philosophical perspective, especially in the United States of America, where we have a First Amendment, which we all think of, or whether it's right or wrong, means that we have the freedom to think our own thoughts and to go beyond that and to speak our own thoughts. So there are our own thoughts, and we have the right in America, which is kind of a special right. Everybody acknowledges that, to speak our own thoughts, to communicate our thoughts, and to have a discussion, philosophical discussion. Here's what's so curious to me. You can't even do that. You can't even have a you can't even ask a question. If you get anywhere close to the subject of Judaism or the Jews or Israel, you can't. It's amazing.
Mike, as a guy who's been in those higher echelons of national Christian ministries, Israel's a very, very big part of it, isn't it, Mike? So,
you can't. You risk your paycheck, you risk your security, you risk your retirement, you risk your career, you risk everything that matters to you as you think about being a good husband and a good father to the family that you have a duty to provide for. If you are a Christian leader at the state level or above in the United States of America in the pro-family movement, you risk everything. If you want to philosophically consider, think about, talk about with your colleagues, with your friends, this subject, anything touching on Israel or the Jews. Now, that makes no sense to me.
You watch every Republican candidate for president of the United States ever, and they always have to go up and tell you how much they support Israel. It's like something they have to do in order to be a Christian, right? Right? Listen, I support Israel. I support them, as Mike would say, from a philosophical standpoint, but hey, boys, if I just read this right, there ain't no Jew, there ain't no Greek. I'm getting myself.
Hey, Coach, I'll make a bold statement here, and I'll step on a lot of toes, but I'll just let everybody know where I stand. I'll say this: the covenant land is not in Israel any longer. And the covenant people is not the bloodline of the Jews any longer. The covenant people is the people, God, Coach, that are of the seed of faith, of the household of Abraham. That is, it's all.
I would agree with that. However, I believe that something significant about that land, significant about that land, for sure, right? Now, I want to let Roger, I want others to get in here. Whether or not all of American foreign policy should be built on Israel, I got a question about that one. Go ahead, Rod.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think every president since either Kennedy or Nixon has met with Henry Kissinger like day two of the presidency.
Right.
Hey, right.
You're not allowed to talk about that. Would you guys stop it? You guys are Jew haters. I feel it.
Hey, good. Go ahead, Rod. I'd like to put stuff in just a little bit of a practical perspective right here. You know, we're talking about denominations and small things making differences and causing division and stuff like that. Well, that's all related to the word church. And think about it. Just think about this for a second. There's a thing called the Church of Scientology, and they don't even believe in God. So how do we allow this word church to form opinion in our nation?
Boy, I don't know.
Hey, Coach.
Somebody else, come on in.
Hey, Coach, can you see me in my screen here? I want you to look at something. This is a good example for everybody. Can you see what I'm holding here?
sticks. Something looks like sticks. Yeah.
Satan has taken, there's a bunch of big skewers or toothpicks, okay? Satan has taken and divided us up, Coach. I'm fixing to show you why. Now, if I got a limb that's this big around and I hit myself in the head with, I'm going to knock myself out. But if I sit here and beat myself over the head with these sticks, I can go as hard as you want. I don't care. Amen. The church is running around here hitting Satan in the head with a bunch of toothpicks, Coach.
I'm with you, Alan. I'm with you. Jared, pull up Romans 9 real quick. Romans 9, that's a good illustration, buddy. That's a great illustration.
Amen. Amen.
Romans 9. Listen, I'm sorry if I'm making some of you nervous. I don't care. You got Romans 9, verse 6. It's just the Bible, boys. It's just the Bible. Now I'm trying to find where you are again, Jared. I lost you over here. Romans, where Jared is presenting it. Oh, I'm running out of time. Come on, Coach, get with it here. Romans 9, verse 6. I lost it. Jared's clear down at the bottom here someplace. I can't find it. I'll read what I got over here. Jared, not all Israel, Romans 9, 6 through 13. There it is, Jared. There, I see it. There it is. Folks. Oh, my goodness. Who are Israelites? Verse 4. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the promise and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Who are the fathers and whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? Who is over all? God bless forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. We just read that. We just read that in Galatians. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. The flesh doesn't amount to anything. Bloodline got nothing to do with it anymore, boys and girls. Lord, help me. Help our eyes to be open and to see that we're children of the promise and we're counted for seed, verse 8, that this, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. On and on. Oh, I lost friends today. Just tell them, just talking about what the Bible. Yeah.
Coach, just Jesus, talking about the Jesus truth. He called them out in Revelation chapter 2 numerous times. He said, all you that claim you're Jews and are not, he said, you're nothing but a synagogue of Satan. And if you want to really wrap that up, Coach, you can even say the same thing for Christians. There's a lot of folks running around out here claiming Christ, living like Satan.
Oh, you must hate him then. Is that what it is? Because if you question anybody, you hate him. Huh? Come on, folks. Coach, come on, folks.
I'll tell you this, Coach. If you ever preach this right here, you want to stir up some hornets, I can stir them up for you. When they offered before Pilate and they said, may his blood be upon us and upon our children, upon our land. How much blood did it take? Well, Hitler found out, brother.
Yeah, brother. See, now we're all Jew haters, right? See, if we just speak the truth, somebody said, a wise man, much wiser than me, said, if you want to find out who really runs things, find out who you can't criticize. Oh, that was a mic drop moment, wasn't it? Wow. Man, I love doing this stuff. I hope you guys walk away from here the way that I walk away from here, that your heart has been opened, your eyes of your understanding have been lightened, and all we want to do is know the truth. Because if we can ever get this thing called the church unified, the devil is in some serious trouble, man. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.